As we say all the time, as it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's why we're called one in Messiah. This afternoon, our broadcast is about, is your spiritual and natural house in order? You know, we go to a lot of meetings, and a lot of congregations are always praying for Israel and praying for everybody, which is a wonderful thing. Praying for people is a wonderful thing. And I always wonder if, while these people are praying for everyone, is their house in order, their spiritual house? You know, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, "For if a man should know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And that is such an important verse. I'm going to be giving a lot of scriptures this afternoon. If you have a pen, please write them down. I want you to look them up later when you get a chance. The book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And that's Jesus talking. That's Yeshua. Praise the Lord. So we're always wondering, you know, we always hear see people that it seems like they have a heart for the Lord. And unfortunately, their ministers or their pastors or their rabbis, whoever they got in charge, are not leading them in the correct path. They're not telling them that keep the commandments, fear God and keep his commandments, which is the message in the Bible. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 13, goes on to say, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me," Jesus said, "keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keep it not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." You know, a lot of people are praying all day and praying every day, but they don't understand. It says in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 31, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." You know, in Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So it's very important to make sure before you go up to the throne of God and you pray with your earnest prayers that you're cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a born-again believer, you do have the advocate with the Father. The advocate means Jesus is your attorney. He's on your side. And he is the propitiation for your sins. He's the atonement sacrifice. The blood that he shed is a plentiful and abundant for this whole world. In Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And I know this is a topic that most people do not even think about. You know, everyone's praying for their little their own wishes and their own desires. But when we pray, we have to make sure we're cleansed, because iniquity, which is sin, separates us from God. That's why we always have to make sure we're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. And when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." And there's so many scriptures in the Bible that makes it very clear that we have to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus before we go up to the throne of God, because God is a holy God. And he says he can't even look on sin. So you have to be cleansed. I just praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus, that we can be priests and kings unto the living God. You know, a lot of people do not understand that you have to take heed, the Bible says. There's so many verses. And I'll give a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand to take heed lest he fall." My wife Carrie is here this afternoon. She'd like to say a few words. Praise the Lord. Here's Carrie.
Angela, you know what you said, you know, when Jesus says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And then you talk also about if you have iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Maybe one of the problems that we have today is that a lot of the people that go to churches today are confused as to what iniquity is. And they're confused as to what sin is. And sometimes I have to wonder what they've repented from. How do you define sin? That is a question that I think a lot of people have to answer for themselves. And it's definite. It's in the Bible. The sin is taking occasion by a commandment. It's the transgression of the law. Therefore, if you're not obeying the commandments, and there's 11 now because Jesus added another one, but there's also the ordinances. And if you know what sin is, then you know what to repent from, and then your house can be in order, and the Lord will hear your prayer.
Amen. That's correct. You know, we believe that God's a holy God, and yes, He demands a holy people. And we have to be separate from the world. We cannot do the things of the world and call ourselves believers. You know, it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, which were the Jews, you know, that God gave the commandments unto the Jews first, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. But if He spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, to condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, if you look in the Bible, even Jesus, Yeshua himself, everything obeys him. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, but men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And other scriptures go on to tell us how even unclean spirits obey him. And that's what we're getting at this afternoon, folks. We're getting, our point is, we need to obey the living God by keeping his commandments. And that's how we show God we love him. Because he loved us so much that he died on the cross, on the tree. He shed his blood. He is the propitiation, the atonement sacrifice for our souls. And how can we show God we love him? By keeping his commandments. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, chapter, I believe it's 6, where it says, that is even our righteousness if we do all the commandments of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of people think when they become a believer in the Lord that immediately they are just scot-free and they don't have to do anything. But the Lord's given many, many scriptures about people that need to understand that after you get born again, you need to pick up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I just thank God that His Word we have, we could read it, and He's given us discernment. We could pray for understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Just thank God for everything He's given us. You know, the Bible is very clear on obeying the Lord. I'd like to give some verses in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 18, pertaining to Abraham. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In Genesis 26:1, and there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Praise the Lord, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And you could read this all through the Bible. If we just obey the Lord and we just keep his commandments, he has so many gifts for us and blessings we just can't even imagine. You know, it makes it very clear in the Bible that we hear nowadays on TV and TV broadcasts that We hear different ministers saying they're a work in progress, and it's such a sad thing, because when you get born again, you should be instructed and brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord by people that know the Lord, that's been in the gospel for years. I just thank God that we have people like that. We have the final authority, which is the Word of God. You know, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, "And hereby do we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." It sounds like a harsh scripture, but it's right in the Bible, folks. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And the reason why you don't want to be a liar, because Revelations 21, verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." This is the second death. You know, it's very clear of who's not going to be making it to the kingdom of heaven. It's not a guessing game. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That means, folks, you could be one of these, we were one of these, but you need to repent, just like we do, and ask the Lord to come into our hearts, and he changes your life. He gives you new desires, a new heart, and I just praise the Lord for salvation. Carrie.
Well, you know, when you read that in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it says they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You see, the apostles, and I believe this was Paul, he didn't just make that up in the spur of the moment that those people weren't going to go to heaven. The only reason he knows that is because all of those commandments and laws are written in the Old Testament. They're the commandments and the ordinances, which are in Leviticus 18 and 19. That's how he knew it. He didn't just make it up for the Corinthians.
Amen. You know, a lot of people don't even realize that Apostle Paul and all the apostles, they didn't have a New Testament, a Brit Hadashah. They were reading out of the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, and that's what they had. Those are the original scriptures written in the Hebrew, and we praise the Lord for that. You know, in another verse that's very amazing to me, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." There it is again. "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now this is Jesus talking. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." No, we've looked around at a lot of broadcasts on TV and around the world. You see, looks like ministries are just blooming. But we have come to the conclusion most people are just blessing themselves. The only commandment they think they're keeping is tithing. Everyone's tithing, giving their 10% to these ministries that are prophesying to people the prosperity message, which is really not of the Lord. And they're getting all this money, building these big, giant international ministries. And it looks like the Lord is blessing them when they're just blessing themselves. But in the end, the Lord's going to say, "I never knew you," because they're not doing the first works. They're not concerned about the weak and beggarly elements of the world, the people that need salvation. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Amen. And when they go out and they try to get people to join their churches, and these people do, they want to tithe to someone, they want to give to something, but they don't quite know where to go. And it seems to me that when you talk to people anymore on the streets and the church people, the biggest fighting words out there is, "Are you keeping the commandments?" Because we've gotten to the point in this world where nobody believes they have to keep the commandments. There's obviously no rules. You're saved by grace, and grace abounds and abounds and abounds. And that isn't what Paul says. Paul said, "And continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid."
Amen. That's right. You know, son, it's a very frightening thing. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? That's a pretty frightening verse right there. You know, this afternoon, we're just trying to bring across, folks, that we are all the same. No matter if you're Jew, Gentile, we all need a Savior. And we all must repent of our sins. And it's an amazing thing God's given us. He's given us His grace, His blood, that we could be cleansed and have an eternal life in the kingdom of heaven and escape a burning hell. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, it goes on to say, also, we're not supposed to be judged not, and that we not be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And this is pertaining to, make sure the mote's out of your own eye before you try to go correct your brother. Make sure your house is in order. And that's the theme of this message. Make sure that you're together with the Lord, that you're seeking the Lord, you're reading, you're praying, you're fasting, you're caring about people, you're helping people. You know, it's just an amazing thing. We meet a lot of people that seem like they have a heart towards the Lord, but they've been instructed incorrectly because they're praying for all these things in the world, and then we look at our lives and their lives are not matching up to the Word of God. You know, there are commandments in the Bible, which my wife loves to read, and we're going to read some this afternoon. We're going to read chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. These are the commandments.
Okay, these are the commandments of our Lord God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Number one is, thou shalt not have gods before me. Number two is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That sounds very strong. But, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Amen.
Next is, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember that the Sabbath day is Saturday, it's not Sunday. This is what God says. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
You know, I just want to interrupt that for a second. Yes, this is one of the commandments, which is commandment number four, which is keeping the Sabbath day holy on Saturday. This is not a doctrine. It's not a Christian issue. It's one of the commandments of the living God, written on the stone by the finger of the living God. And if you want to know what you need to do on the Sabbath, it's a wonderful day. We rest in the Lord. Doesn't mean we sleep, folks. It means we rest in the creation of God and the blessings of God. And if you could read Isaiah chapter 56 and 58, you'll see a clearer picture. And read Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a prophet. He'll be glad to show you, if you read it, that you're not supposed to buy or sell on the Sabbath. And these commandments have never changed, just that people have changed the Word of God.
Amen. And it's not a custom. It is a commandment. It's not just a custom of the Jews. And the next one, of course, is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the first commandment with promise. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In other words, you can't want a possession of someone else's.
That's
or
right.
Desire it. Be happy with what you have. And then, of course, there's a new commandment he gives on to us in the New Testament. So there actually is 11. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He loved us so much that he gave up his life for us, that we could live. And we need to think about our brethren's souls also, and that's how we care about their lives.
Amen. You know, the harvest is ripe. It's time for us to get out there and preach the true word of God. There is a kingdom of heaven. Even though I know a lot of religions today have erased that through the different false Bible versions. And I know a lot of false Bible versions have erased, there's a burning hell. You know, that is exactly what we're saved from. Jesus said he came to save us from a burning hell because he knows that's for eternity. You know, and no sin is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why we're so strong on keeping the commandments of God, because we love your souls. And also ourselves, we have to examine ourselves daily to make sure we're walking correctly and walking in the Spirit of God. So we come to you this afternoon in love, hoping that you will participate in our services. And the more people that you know, bring your friends, bring your enemies, bring anyone, because we love having a time in the Lord. You know, my wife's very strong on also explaining to people what sin is, because that is a thing that people just, for some reason, the churches have, I don't know, they don't explain it. They've replaced so many things in the Bible with their message of grace. Grace has erased the whole Old Testament. And I know you have some more things to say.
That's right, Angela. You know, one of the problems is, like I said, people can't seem to define sin anymore. But if you read Romans 3, no matter what your church says, you need to read the Bible. When they say something, you go home and check it and see if it matches, because a lot of times you're going to find it doesn't. It's just a saying that everyone's said for years. It's like a habit. Because Romans 3 says that when you're saved, it's remission of sins that are past. It's not the sins that are forward. You can't knowingly sin. You cannot willfully sin after having knowledge of the truth, because there remains no more sacrifice for your sins. And that is scriptural. And they won't tell you that. Most of the churches say that they've nailed everything to the cross. The commandments, your past sins, your sins forever. That's not true according to the scripture.
Amen. That's that very evil doctrine of once saved, always saved, eternal security. It's such a damnable heresy. You know, the Bible says to pick up your cross daily. Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he said to strive to enter in. You know, so it's a battle. There's a war on, folks. It's a spiritual battle. And that's why we're very strong on making sure we're right in the eyes of God, because we know that God sees us and hears us. And we have to make sure we preach the exact word of God. That's why we give you scriptures for you to go look up. We don't just want you to take our word for it. We give you the scriptures. Please look these up. Always make sure you know what you believe. Prove all things. You know, the Bible is not a guessing game. There's actually a way to serve the Lord. There are actually things the Lord requires. You know, we praise the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We praise the Lord for souls. And there's just umpteen things God has for those that fear God and keep His commandments. Because it says in Ecclesiastes that is the whole duty of man. And I'll read the verse. That's chapter 12, verse 12. Now, this is a very important scripture. It says, "And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there's no end." I'm going to stop for a second. Carrie, how many times people want us to read their book?
Over and over and over.
That's all they want us to do, is read their books, this book, that book, other books.
My advice is, the only book you need to read is the King James Bible. All the other books just confuse you.
Amen. The Bible says, be not many masters. Try to master the Word of God while we're alive. But anyway, getting back to this verse, "And further by these, my son, be admonished, the making of many books there's no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." Let us hear the conclusion. And this is Solomon. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." In Deuteronomy, our last verse for this afternoon, Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and turn away out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known.